Good evening. After you're done marking that invitation song, if you would turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2. And by way of invitation tonight, I'd like to look at the first 10 verses of that chapter. And I'd like to just make 3 points. But in Ephesians, the second chapter, in just these 10 verses, I think we can get a pretty good summarization of what God's revealed word is all about. The scheme of redemption is in these 10 verses, and so I'd like to make a few points about that and talk about that for the time that I have with you this evening. But beginning in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2, the first point that I'd like to make is that we are, at one point or another in this lifetime, all of us have been dead in sin. Beginning in verse 1 there of Ephesians chapter 2, we are told, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." And so in this passage, he's talking to Christians there in Ephesus. And so, at one time, they were dead in their trespasses and sins. And just as they were, we are too. We read in Romans 3 and in verse 23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there is no one to ever have walked this earth save Christ that does not fit in that category. And so, through this passage, we know that we are all in need of salvation of those sins. And so, because we are in need of that salvation, how do we gain that? How do we get forgiveness of those sins? How are we able to escape that death that we have in sin, as we read there in verse 1? Well, if you continue on in verses 4 through 7, we're told, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ." And so how we are made alive, we are made alive together in Christ. That's the only way that we can have forgiveness of sins. That's the only way that we can escape that death, is through Christ and through his blood that was shed on the cross for the remission of our sins. There is no other way. If you would turn over a few pages to Galatians, the third chapter. And in verses 26 and 27 of Galatians chapter 3, we see how we are made alive through Christ. Verse 26 there in Galatians 3, we're told that, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so the only way that we can access that salvation of sins through Christ and through his blood is by being baptized. We put on Christ through baptism. That is the only way that we can put on Christ, as shown throughout Scripture. We've got to make sure that when we look at these passages, such as in Ephesians 2, and where it talks to us about being made alive together through Christ, we can't just make up how we do that or how we come into contact with Christ. We've got to look to the other passages, we've got to look to the context, we've got to make sure that the scriptures agree with each other and we don't take just one out of context there. Dad talked about that a little bit in his class this morning, taking a passage out of context and the damage that that can do and the problems that come with that. The only way that we can be made alive together in Christ is through that baptism. That is how we put on Christ. We see in the world today that there are many denominations out there. There are many different ways that people think that we put on Christ. One of the most popular ones that I know that we've all heard of is saying the sinner's prayer. That's not something that's taught in Scripture. Prayer is certainly something that is talked about in Scripture and should be a part of every Christian's everyday life, but that's not how we come into contact with that blood of Christ. The only way that we can do that is through baptism. And we see that throughout the New Testament. And so we have all sinned. We have all been dead in trespasses and sins. And the way that we get out of that is by being made alive together with Christ. And then after we are made alive together with Christ through that baptism that we talked about, then we've got some more things that we have to do. That's not where it ends. That's where our Christian walk begins. And continuing on in Ephesians, the second chapter, now in verses 8 through 10, we're told that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so, why have we been created in Christ? What is one reason that God has given up his only begotten Son to come and to die for the remission of our sins? It's so that we would be created in Christ for good works, which he prepared before him. So after we put on Christ in baptism, after we become a child of God, we must therefore continue in those good works. And so, what defines those good works? How do we know what those good works are? Well, we must first of all look to the scriptures. If you would turn to 2 Timothy, a passage we're all familiar with, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in verse 16 and 17, we're told there that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so what equips us for every good work is the scripture. How do we know what a good work is? Well, we've got to look towards God's word for what that good work is. God's word is what defines that good work. And so tonight, as we've gone through the different acts of worship in our singing service tonight, we've talked about prayer, we've talked about teaching God's word, we've talked about we partook in the Lord's Supper. This morning we partook in the Lord's Supper. And we do those things that are called for in the New Testament as Christians. That's what we have to do to define God's good works through what God has said good works would be. We see that there are many in the religious world today that simply do what they think is a good work. We see many different ways that different denominations, different religions in the world today worship God. And even though they may be sincere, that work that they are doing is not good because it is not from God's word. It is not authorized by God. And so we cannot call something a good work unless it's something that has been authorized in the New Testament. And so we've got to make sure that we look to God's word for those good works. And so here in Ephesians 2, we see that we have been dead in our trespasses through our sins. All have sinned, and so we're all in need of that justification through faith and through Christ's sacrifice. And to make another point with that, all have sinned. It doesn't matter if we're good moral people, if we have not done what God has told us to do to obtain that salvation, which is baptism and putting on Christ, then we're not going to have that eternal life in heaven. There are many today that would claim, well, they were a good person and they lived a life full of good works. And again, how do you define those good works? Just being morally good is not something that will save you from your sins. In verse 9 of Ephesians 2, we're told that it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's nothing that we can do. We can do all the good works in the world and not earn our salvation. We can only obtain that salvation through Christ and his sacrifice. And as we mentioned earlier, we put on Christ through baptism, which we read in Galatians 3. And then after we put on Christ in baptism, we've got a responsibility, we've got a duty to continue to walk in those good works which God has prepared for us beforehand that we should walk in them. And we've got to make sure that we study the scriptures, that we look to the word of God to define what those good works are. That we are to worship him as he would have us to worship him. That we are spreading the gospel to those around us. That we are helping out those who are in need and who are who have been not have the things that we have, that we are able to help them with. That we love our enemy. That we pray for our enemy. That we pray for those around us and those that are in need. Those are all good works that are defined by God and his word throughout the New Testament. And these are all things that we need to make sure we do. And so as we look at these first 10 verses in Ephesians, the second chapter, I think it's a good place to look for generally how we as Christians are supposed to live. Like I said, it's a very good, concise summarization, if you will, of the scheme of redemption. We've all sinned. We all need that salvation. We get that through salvation through Christ. And then after we've had that salvation, we need to walk in His good works that He's prepared for us. And so with that, we offer an invitation this evening. There may be those here who have not named the name of Christ. Perhaps you're one of those that has thought you've named the name of Christ. Perhaps you sincerely believe that you have that salvation through Christ, but you've not put Him on in baptism. As we read in Galatians 3, the only way that we can have access through Christ is through that baptism. We are buried with Him in His death, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. And there may be some here that have not done that, and you feel the need to do that this evening. We wish that you would come forward tonight and not waste any other time in doing that. There may be some here that have done that but have fallen away. Perhaps you have been doing things that are not authorized in God's Word and want to make that right. But if we can help you spiritually in any way, we ask that you come forward now as we sing the song of invitation.